Today's shiur is Masechta Nida Daf Chav Hei. We will begin on Daf Chav Dalar Mebeis, 8 lines from the bottom, Tanya. Avishol Oimer. Begins the Gemara Tanya Avishol Oimer V'Temer Rabbi Yochanan. Kaiva Mesim Hayisi. I was a person who would bury dead people. Pamachas Ratzti Achatzvi. Once I ran after a deer. V'Nechnasti B'Kul Shomeis. And I entered the thigh bone of a corpse, for Rathi Achra of Sholosh Prasos, and I ran for Sholosh Prasos, for Tzvi Lohigati, I never was able to catch up with the deer, for Kulis Loikolsa, and I still did not come to the end of that thigh bone. Kshachzarti Lachorei, when I traced back my steps, Umrli, they told me, Sh'oig Melech Habosh and Haisa, the thigh bone that I had run into was the thigh bone of Og Melech HaBoshen. So, of course, the Mefarshim attempt to explain this Gemara, sort of a difficult Gemara to understand. So what they explain is that the Tzvi represents Tahara. The Kulis of Mace, especially as the Gemara said, represents Tumah. The Kulis of a Mace, Mace is Tumah. Og Melech HaBoshen represents Tumah. And what he said was, I tried to reach Tahara. I tried to reach the Tzvi. But he says I could not reach the Tzvi. Because as long as I was still attached to the Tumah, I was attached to the thigh bone of the dead Og Melech HaBoshen, you can't achieve Tahara as long as you have a connection to Tumah. And that's why they also explained the Sholosh Prasos. One hand, Sholosh Prasos, we know that the Gemara Masech, the Brachas, says that Og Melech HaBoshen was successful in lifting a mountain that was 3 Prasos big. On the other hand, the Sholosh Prasos represents Machni Yisrael, which was the size of Sholosh Prasos. Continues the Gemara with a similar incident. Tana, Abishol Oimer Kaiva Mesa Hayisi, Pamachas Niftach HaMor Tachtoi, a cave opened up from under me, V'Ma'ati Gelgel Enoi Shomeis, and I fell into the socket of a dead person, Atchait me up to my nose. Kshchati L'chayr, when I was able to climb out, Omru, they told me, Ayin Shal of Shalom Haisa. It was the eye of Shalom. And again, too, they say that this Gemara is very much the same. He was trying to go for Tahara, but he fell into the eye of Avshalom. Avshalom, in this Gemara, represents Tumah. On one hand, we know that Avshalom was the son of a Yifas Toyar. Furthermore, Avshalom had relations with the Pilakshim of his father, David, and he said that I was still ensnared with a Tumah, so I could not reach Tahara. And that's what Atchoit me, until my nose, represents the Neshama, which the Neshama, as we say every morning, Alakai Neshama Shnesatabi Tahirihi. V'shemetom, continued the Gemara, perhaps one will want to say the reason he was able to sink so quickly into the socket in the eye of Avshalom was because Avshalom nanas hava, because Avshalom was a midget. So the Gemara Avshalom aruch b'doyra hava. Avshalom was actually very tall. Rav Tarfon megiel k'sefer. Rav Tarfon will reach his shoulders. Rav Tarfon was also a very tall individual. Rav Tarfon aruch b'doyra hava. Rav Meir megiel k'sefer. Rav Meir would only reach his shoulders. Ramei Aruch Bedava Hava, Ramei was very tall, Rabbi Magil Ksefoi, Rabbi Aruch Bedara Hava, Rabbi Chia Magil Ksefoi, Rabbi Chia Aruch Bedara Hava, Rab Magil Ksefoi, Rab Aruch Bedara, Rabbi Yehuda Magil Ksefoi, and Posh Pshat, the way the Mefarshim explained, is what the Gemara is teaching us is that every generation was weaker than the generations get weaker. And that's why in the later generations, they were, so to speak, not as tall as the previous generations. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Aruch B'dara Hava, Va'ada Daila, Magil Ksefoi, Pashto Vivna de Pumpadisa, Koyle La'ada Daila Palgay. And here there was even more of a difference that the people from Pumpadisa, name of a person from Pumpadisa, Rashi says, only reached Ad Palgay. Only was able to reach up to the middle of Ida Daili. So here there was even a more significant difference. The Kula Alma and everyone else, Koi only up to their loins. Actually, I saw from the Sefer Moruk Tzia, and from this Gemara we see that being tall is considered being handsome, because the Gemara says that all of these great individuals were handsome in their being tall. That the Moruk Tzia, in fact, says that when somebody sees a good-looking, tall individual, he should make the bracha of Shekacheloi Bailamai. He does say that it has to be an individual whose proper proportion. And if he's very tall, but very lanky, very skinny, so that doesn't mean handsome. But if the person is indeed handsome, he should make such a bracha. Begins the Gemara. Shaul Lefnei Rebbe. Hamapela Shvir Malei Basar. If somebody miscarriages, a woman discharges a embryo that has flesh, mahu, what is the halacha? Amalam lo shemati. I did not hear the halacha. Amalam fanam Rishma Rabbi Yossi. So Rishma Rabbi Yossi said, kach aber abba, he quoted his father Rabbi Yossi who said, male dam, if the embryo just is blood, tamei nida, she's a nida, male basar, tamei leida. And if it has flesh, that's indication that there's a child here, and she has tumas leida. Amale, so they said to him, Imale dava chadush amatlam v'shum avicha. Had you said to us something that we didn't know before in the name of your father, shmanacha, we would have accepted you, what you said. Achshav midah kamais kichido. But now, in other words, had you just taught us, they told him, that male basar is considered a leida, and that's why it's considered, there is tumas leida. It's something that we would have easily accepted. But you also now taught us another halacha. You also said that if it's male dam, it's tamei nida. And that only is consistent with what we learned at the beginning of the parak, the opinion of Sumchus, Shamer Mishim Rameya, that Sumchus says in the name of Rameya that male dam is tamei nida. Even though the Mefarshim asked that when we learned that Gemara, we had another explanation why it's Mali Dam is Tamei Nida, because it's Efsha Lepsichas Kever B'loi Dam, that as soon as there's a discharge, there has to be Dam. So why are we saying, because he follows the opinion of Sumchus, why don't we say that the reason is because the Efsha Lepsichas Kever B'loi Dam? So the Achroinim Daruch Laner answers, if that were Pshat in Rabbi Yossi, then it doesn't make a difference what she discharged. Mole Basar, Mole Dam. If she discharged something, and Ef Shel Psichas Kever B'loi Dam, that's why she's Tamei. The fact that there was a distinction, if it's Mole Basar, Mole Dam, is clearly an indication that that's the reason. But now that we see that you're paskening in this case strictly because you follow the opinion of Sumchus Shurameya, that if it's Mali Dam, it's Tamei Nida. Hanami, the other psak that you gave, that it's when it's Basar, this Tumas Leida, only follows the opinion of Rabbi Shua. The Tanya, Shemek Rabbi Shua Amra, maybe you're only following the opinion of Rabbi Shua, then Alak Rabbi Shua, and we don't follow that opinion. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Hamapela Shvir Shenem Arukim, if someone discharges an embryo that isn't yet developed, if Shua Am Avlad, it's still considered a Vlad, V'chamam in Avlad. And as the Chazanish explains the Gemara, why are we saying that it necessarily follows the opinion of Yeshua when he says that it's Mali Basar, it's Tumas Leida because he's following the opinion of Yeshua? Says the Chazanish a very nice explanation. He says as follows. In the first case that he's addressing, where it's Mole Dam, and he's paskening that she's a Tamei Nida, he is following the opinion of Sumchus rather than the opinion of the Rabbonim. So what do we see about Rabbi Yossi? What we see about Rabbi Yossi is that he doesn't feel limited to follow the opinion of the Chachamim. He'll pasken like a Yochid, even if it's against the Chachamim. Once we see that is his style, that we could attribute his other psak when it's Malei Basar, also that he's following the opinion of Rabbi Shua, even though the Chachamim disagree. So the way we're learning now is that if it's Malei Basar, this Tamei Leida, a Shvir Malei Basar is Tamei Leida, and the Gemara is saying that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. And the Chachamim would disagree. So now the Gemara drills down in explaining that machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua. So says the Gemara, Amar b'shem lakin shem Rabbi Yishya, machlokes b'achar. When is there machlokes between between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua? And this is the way most Rishonim learn, when the liquid that's found in the sack is not clear. Ava b'tzolu, if the liquid found in the sack is clear liquid, divrei hakol ein avlad. Even Rabbi Yeshua will agree that there's no tumas leida. There is another pshat in the Rishonim, just to mention it, that it's not speaking about the liquid, it's speaking about the skin itself. If the shvir, if the embryo is clear, then there is, everybody according to Rish Lakish will agree, there is no tumas leida. If the skin itself is not clear, then there's a machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and the Rabbanim. But we're going to learn with the first pshat that we learned. That's Rish Lakish's interpretation of the machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and Chachamim. Rabbi Yeshua Levi Omer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi makes the following statement. But solo machlokes. And as the Achraim explain, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi just made the following statement. But solo machlokes. But we don't know what he meant with that statement. So ask the Gemara, what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean with that statement? Did he mean to say, b'tzolo machlokes, that when the shvir is full of tzolo, that's when Rabbi Yeshua holds it's tamei leida, and Rabbanan hold not. Ava ba'ochor, if it's not clear liquid, even the Rabbanan, everybody will agree, dvirei ka vlad, everybody will agree that this is a vlad. Oidoma, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi meant to say is that it makes no difference if it's ochur or tzolul, bein bezeh machloikis. That in all situations, Rabbi Yeshua will hold that there is a tumas leida, whether it's tzolul or ochur, and in all situations, the Rabbanan will hold there is no tumas leida, and the Gemara remains with a take on this question. Ask the Gemara on this, may say, we learned in a braisa, Ezu darash Rabbi Yeshua b'chananya. Rabbi Yeshua b'chananya said the following drasha. The pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, "V'yas Hashem l'akim, v'yas Hashem l'akim l'odom l'ishtoi k'soynes or v'yilbishem." So, as the Mefarshim explained, what is sort of extra in the pasuk, which causes the Braisa to focus on it, is the pasuk wants to teach us that after the Aveira with the Eitz Hadas, till then Adam and Chava weren't wearing clothing. Now they were wearing clothing. Now the question is, why did the Torah have to say Ksoinus Or? What does the Torah have to say the Or? Melamed, to teach us, Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oisa Or LaAdam Elm Kein Noitzer. So the way that even Ezra explains this Pasuk, we're going to learn with this Pshat, is that the Pasuk is trying to teach us something else. The Pasuk is trying to teach us that by the time the Or is developed, that by the time the Or is developed, that means the embryo, the child, the fetus has been developed. And that, if you see Or, you know you have a Vlad, and by extension, you have Tumas Leida. Interesting vart I saw from the Ragged Shavar. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically make Ksoinus Or, leather clothing? So he says that Adam and Chava had a halachic problem. The halacha is that when you get a new garment, you're supposed to make a shachyonu. But Adam and Chava weren't dressed, so they couldn't make a shachyonu. But on the other hand, there's a halacha that if you put on a new garment made out of leather, you don't make a shachyonu. The reason is because you had to kill an animal to make the garment, so you don't make a shachyonu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically made a leather garment, so they shouldn't have a problem with the shachyonu. Apart from the Ragged Shavah. But as far as our Gemara is concerned, the Pasuk is teaching us that once it's Or, as we just explained, once there's Or, you have a Vlad. Now the Gemara makes its point. Alma, so what is this pasuk teaching us? That the ba'or talya milsa, once there's or, the halacha considers that we have here a vlad, Aloshna ochr v'loshna tzolul. It makes no difference if the embryo has ochr, has non-clear liquid in it, or clear liquid in it. And now the Gemara makes its point. And this is all what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, because this is Rabbi Yeshua's shita. So says the Gemara, if we're going to say that Rabbi Yeshua says his opinion, not only when it's full of ochr, liquid, but even when it's full of tzolo liquid, that this is considered a vlad. So now, we can well understand what the pasuk is coming to teach us. However, says the Gemara, Eli Amrit, but ochr machloikus, that not only by tzolo is there a machloikus, but even by ochr, and that's where we have a machloikus, and only by ochr will Rabbi Yeshua hold that it's considered a vlad. So for that, I don't need a pasuk. Lamali kra. Svara ba'almahu. That's obvious that if there's a vlad, that the embryo, there's a shvir with ochr, it should be considered a vlad. I don't need a pasuk. I can learn that through svara. It must be shma mina el shma mina b'tzol machloikus. The Yeshua says his opinion not that it's considered a vlad, not only when it's full of ochr liquid, but even when it's full of tzol liquid, shma mina. It's very clear. So the mefarshim say a very important, the Sharm Tzvam Balacha says, we see from this Gemara that a Svara is more than a Pasuk. Because what's the Gemara saying? That if I could extrapolate a Halacha logically, then there's no need for the Torah to say it. And therefore, if the Torah Akdosha says Or, then it must be that it's come to teach us a Chiddush that not only if it's Tzolul, but even if it's Ochr, it's considered a Vlad. So he quotes the Sharm Tzvam Balacha, a Tshuva from the Marshag, that if somebody's asked a question, and it's based, and he doesn't know the answer because he's not familiar with a tshuva sefer, or he's not familiar with some sort of a source, we can have an issue with that individual, with that Talmud Chacham. Because how is one to know everything that has been said? There's so much literature. But if somebody makes a mistake in a svara, then we have an issue. Because a svara, you don't need to, as Al Gemara says, you don't need a pasuk. You just have to have good logical head, mind. And if not, we have an issue. Although he also says there, in that same piece, the Sharm Tzvam Balacha, that perhaps this Gemara that says that svara is more important than pasuk, it was only in the times of Chazal where there wasn't so much printed literature. So people relied on their own logic. But now, Baruch Hashem, where there's so many svara, and there's so many tshuva svarim and all sorts of svarim that we can learn. So today, we shouldn't just rely on our own logic, we should rely on the printed word. The Gra says this Gemara is the basis for a Psak and Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if somebody, if the two poor people, the comfort stalker, and one doesn't have food, and one doesn't have clothing, we're more concerned about the food than the clothing. Because what does this pasuk teach us here? That only after the person was created that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worry about his clothing. So we see that clothing is less important than feeding the person. But there, the Ramah paskins, that's only if the two people who approach you are equal stature. But let's say one's a Talmud Chacham, one's an Amoritz, and the Talmud Chacham needs clothing and the Amoritz needs food, give the clothing to the Talmud Chacham first. But the Shach says we don't know who's considered, we don't have anybody in that category that he's more important, that is in the category of a Talmud Chacham that should take precedence over the Talmud Chacham, over the Amoritz needing food. Continues the Gemara. V'ken Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Machloikis ba'ochr. The Machloikis of Rab Yeshua and the Rabbanan is by ochr. Av b'tzolol, if it's tzolol, the v'akol in avlad. Ask the Gemara, Eisrei Ravel Rav Nachman, El Amru. To review, this is a Mishnah we learned in Masecht B'chayris, Daf Yotes. As we learned Masecht B'chayris, we discussed there an animal has a din of B'chayra. So if we have an animal and we don't know if this animal ever had children before, and now it has a child, so is it a B'chayra or is it not a B'chayra? So the Mishnah there, the opinion of Tanakama was that animals, depending on their size and their type, only have children at certain ages. So if the animal, if the mother is younger than that age and has a child, it's clearly an indication that that child is a Bechor. Rabbi Kiva says not necessarily. So Rabbi Kiva says that even if the animal can't have necessarily a full-fledged viable child until a certain age, it could have a discharge of a child that would make the next child not a bechor. El amru, sim of lab behema daka tinuf. By behema daka, as soon as the animal has this tinuf coming out from her, that is a raya, that's a child, and the next child will not be bechor. Begasa, if she has behema gasa, the shilya, the sack, is a proof that there was a child. Beisha, by a human being, whether we have a shvir, which is an embryo, or the shilya, or the sack, either one of them is a simen that the child, that is the first child, and children that will come later are not going to be a bechor. Makes the Gemara the following observation. Vila shvir behema lepata. The Mishnah doesn't say that a shvir is a sign by behema gasa that was a child. Says the Gemara. Iam b'shlam b'tzolol machloikus. By tzolol, there's a machloikus or b'shu and the rabbanon. Mishum hachi. Isha, the rabbah kra. By, when we speak about it, isha, that the Torah says, pata b'shvir. Behema, the like rabbah kra. By isha that we just learned the pasuk of Yasa Shemel Kim La Adam La Ishtai, that's a proof that's a child. So that's why the shvir is an indication of a child. Eli Amrit Bebehema, where we don't have a pasuk teaching us that or is an indication of a child. Like Pataba Shvir. That's why a shvir is not a raya. Eli Amrit. But, as we just said, if the machlaikas between Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim is strictly by Ocher, and as we said, if the machlaikas is by Ocher, Rabbi Shua doesn't need a pasuk. Because it's a svara, that if you have a shvir full of non-clear liquid, that is the biggest raya in the world that you have a vlad. So you're relying on logic. If you're relying on logic and you don't need the pasuk, michtei svaru, we're relying purely on logic. So if so, maishna isha, maishna behema. It must be that we're talking strictly about tzol. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua, Mishnah Pshitalei. It doesn't mean Rabbi Shua is saying his opinion without any question. Rather, says the Gemara, the way to understand Rabbi Shua is as follows. Rabbi Shua is svukim ma'asapkalei. Rabbi Shua actually has a suffix, how to treat the shvir. Is a shvir certainly a vlad, or is a shvir not certainly a vlad? V'azal hachal chumra, v'achal chumra. He always goes l'chumra. Gabi, however, and therefore, by a animal, we're going to have to be strict and not consider the shvir a child, consider the next animal the child. However, gabi isha, when we speak about the isha, the Mamainuhu, that we're only speaking about a situation of mammon, because of a char adam, is just that you have to give the kayin chamis sloim, so safak mainel kula. Gab vehema, the isuruhu, where it's not just a question of money, but it's an issue that if this animal that's born afterwards is a bechor, so you're not allowed to do any work with that animal, you're not allowed to shear that animal, that's a shayla of a safak isura, the chumra. Hachinami, and therefore says Rabbi Shua, Gabi Isha, when we speak about the Isha in our Gemara, where if this is a Vlad, she's Tamei, Sovek Tamei L'chumra. So let's just review what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that Rabbi Shua is not absolutely clear how to treat a Shvir. So when we speak about Pinyan Aben of a human being, Rabbi Shua takes a lenient opinion. Why does he take a lenient opinion? Because it's only a question of mammon. And since it's a question of mammon, do I or do I not have to give the b'kayin, the chamis loim, for pinyan aben? Safek mammon l'kula. Why safek mammon l'kula? Hamatz mechaveira olivaraya. And therefore, as soon as the mother discharges a shvir, Rabbi Shua says that the next child will not be treated like a b'char for pinyan aben. However, when we speak about a mother discharging a shvir, and now there's a question, was there a vlad? Was there not a vlad? If there's a vlad, there's tumah. If there's no vlad, there is no tumah. So now we're dealing with a question of tumah. Rabbi Shua takes a strict opinion. Similarly, when an animal discharged the shvir, if that's not considered that she had a child, and therefore the next child is considered a bechor, and if he's a bechor, you're not allowed to work with it, and you're not allowed to shear it, that's why Rabbi Shua takes a strict opinion. So Mefarshim asked, so basically what Rabbi Shua is teaching us here in this Mishnah, based on the Gemara's Teretz, is that Safek Mamun Lekula. Now we have a question, for finances, we could be Mekel, based on the concept that we've discussed numerous times, Hamotzi Chaver Olavaraya. So Mefarshim asked, that's a well-known rule, Hamotzi Chaver Olavaraya. What does the Mishnah, what does Rabbi Shua have to teach it to us again in that Mishnah? So Mefarshim answer, that we would think that when do we apply the concept of a Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya, that's if you come to me for money, you ask me for, you say I owe you money, so I say to you, Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya, bring proof that I owe it to you. But here we're talking about a Dvar Mitzvah, doing a Pinyan Aben. Maybe there we ought not to apply the concept of a Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. Teaches us the Mishnah that even by a Dvar Mitzvah, we apply that concept. But it's a very interesting question that was already posed a long time ago to the Tzemach Tzedek. We have people in Klal Yisrael that don't know the Yichus. They don't know, the man doesn't know if he's a Kohen, no, it's his father, grandfather, or Kahanim, or Levium. She doesn't know, the wife doesn't know if her father was a Kohen or a Levi. And as we know, the halach is that if the husband or the wife of a newborn Bechor are Kahanim or Levium, there's no Pinyan Aben. So what happens if you have such a couple? He and or she don't know her yichus. What should we do as far as a pinyan aben? So the Tzemach Tzedek applies our Gemara. He says, in our Gemara we learned that whenever you have a suffix, suffix mamun lekula, and we don't make a pinyan aben. Darach HaShulchan, the Kuntres HaSfekas disagree. And they say that of course you make a pinyan aben. Why? Because we can rely on the roif. It's all connected to the concept of Roiv that we've discussed many times, including in this Masechta, that Roiv paskins a Shaila, and since most people are not Kohanim or Levim, we can rely on the Roiv, and unless we have a reason to think differently, if you have a couple that don't know for sure what their Yichus is, they should make a Pinyan, and they have a Bechor, they should make a Pinyan Aben. Ask the Gemara, Umim Sapkala. So now we have a whole new interpretation of Yeshua. Till this line of the Gemara, we assumed that Yeshua was saying his position firmly, that a Vlad, a Shvir, is considered a Vlad. Now we're saying he has a Sofik. But haven't we learned earlier that it was based on the Pasuk of Yas, Laudem El Ishtik, Soinus Arva Yibishem, so it's a Pasuk, for Kroa Kamer, didn't he quote a Pasuk? Says the Gemara, that Pasuk was Midrabanan, that Rabbi Yeshua is only Midrabanan, he quoted a Pasuk, cross machta ba'almahu. Says the Gemara. Amrei Rav Chanina bar Shalmi l'Rav. Ha Rebbe. So we discussed in our shiur today, when we speak about the shvir, we've learned so many different opinions, says the Gemara. We had Rebbe's opinion, Ha Rebbe Shmar Rebbe Yossi, that said that we consider a shvir a Vlad. We had Rebbe Oishia and Rebbe Shua Malevi disputing how to understand the opinion of Rebbe Shua. So we asked the Makaman Sfirli, what is your opinion? Amalei, ani oima echad zeh ve'echad zeh eino chasheshes. I say a shvir is not considered a vlad under any circumstances. Ochur, tzol, doesn't make a difference to me. But Shmuel Amar, echad zeh ve'echad zeh chasheshes. Shmuel is always concerned that whenever you see a shvir, there must be a vlad here, and therefore there's tumas later. Says the Gemara, v'az de Shmuel tamei, the chaser of Dimi, omer me'olam me'docho shvir ben adah. There was never a situation where a woman discharged the shvir that an ador, where Shmuel was the rav, they should be lenient. The only exception was there was once a shvir, dosl kamei the Shmuel, that was brought to Shmuel, the manach lechut sar mahai gisa, and the shvir was so transparent that if you put a hair on one side of the shvir, the chaz mahai gisa, you could see right through it, it was so transparent. Omer, on that shvir, he said, that there was a vlad here, but Zuklahei could never have been that transparent. Any other situation, Shmuel was makbid that every shvir should be considered tumas later. We'll speak about this more a little further. But But we learned in the Mishnah that if the Shvir was somewhat developed, then it's considered a Vlad. So the Gemara expounds on that line. Tana Abaran, the Braisa taught us, Eze Shvir Merukim, what does it mean that it was developed? Aba Sholay Metchilas Briyosim Merayshay. So the Rishonim disagree, what does this mean? Some say it means Pasha Pshat, that the embryo develops from its head. The Rabbeinu Tam has a problem with this Pshat, because he quotes the Gemara Masechta, I think Brachas, that the Gemara says that, the Gemara Saita, that the Gemara says that the way a embryo is developed, it starts from the middle and spreads out. So how do you say it spreads out from the head? So he says Merosha means that it starts off very small, like a very small insect. How will the other opinion explain the Gemara Masechta Saita? So he says what the Gemara here means to say, it's not arguing in the Gemara Masechta Saita. Indeed, the embryo starts from the middle. When it says Meroisha, it means the first aver in the body to become developed is the Roish. But that doesn't mean it's the first, that's where it starts from. V'shtei enof, it's two eyes. Akishtei tipin shelzvov, like the two drops of insects. Taner abchim ruchakim zemzeh, but they have to be separated. Shnei choytmim, it's two nostrils. Kishtei tipin shelzvov, also look like two small worms. Taner abchia, umekurovim zelazeh, next to each other, as the astrals always are. Opiv mesur kechutasara. Again, we're speaking about this developing embryo. Its mouth looks like a hair. V'gviyosai. Machlokes Rishonim, how to learn it. We're going to learn the way most Rishonim learned. Gviyosai means it's aver by a male. Kadash is as big as a bean. V'mhoisin the keva. If she's a female, the doina kesara la'archa. It's split like a barleycorn. V'chituch yudayim v'raglayim einloy. At that point, there are no fingers and hands yet, and feet. Says the Gemara, Olam Afurish B'Kabbalah. The Pasuk Iyev says regarding an embryo at this beginning state. Haloi Kechalov Tachticheni. I began like milk. Ugegvina Takfeni. The first begins just as liquid. Then it's formed, it hardens, just like milk turns into cheese. Ora Basa Talbisheni. I have Ora Basa on me. Vatsamas Vagidim Tismacheni. Furthermore, says the Braisa, when we want to examine this embryo, don't put it under water. The water will cause it to be crushed. It should be put in oil. This oil is much easier on the embryo, and the contrary, it makes it shine, and all of the different parts could come clearer. Vein royin, and furthermore, as we discussed earlier in Amasechta, El Bechama, it should be inspected in the sunlight, where it's easier to get a better picture. Says the Gemara, continues the Braisa, Ketzet Boit Gnoisoi, stops the Gemara. Ketzet Boit Gnoisoi, what's your question? Kerminin, we just gave the simonim. El says, "Avamad boit can I say? How do we do an examination? Lay them zachu in the kevihi. If this embryo is a male or a female, for as we have been learning, there are very different halachas regarding tum and tahara. How many days yitar and how many days yitamei by male or a female?" Says the Gemara, "Abishol bar nash, famerloi abishol bar remesh oimer. Maybe kisim. One brings a small piece of wood." That tip is smooth, and you move it up and down the place where you could tell the difference between a male and a female. If it gets caught, because it got caught in the aver, but if it goes smooth, that's a sign that it's a female. When we do this investigation, el mamata milmala. When you go from the bottom to the top, Alman at Stodim, if you try to go from the side of the embryo, if it gets stuck, it maybe got stuck in the womb, and we won't really be able to tell. And the Mefarshim say, we also can't go from the top to the bottom, because it's not a proof, only if you go from the bottom to the top. Omer Rav Adabar Hava, Tana, Imhois in the Keva, if it's a female, the dinakasura sudukah, just like a barley has a split, it will have a split. Maskler of Nachman, the dimachut shabayim ninu. Who says the split represents because she's a female. Maybe it's just the split between the two bayim. So the Mar, that can't be. Amar baya hash the bayim gufayim lo yidia. At this point of development, there are no bayim yet. Chutcha bayim yidia, there can't be a distinction between the two bayim. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Amram, Tana, Beis Yachasov, it's two thighs, Kebeis Chutn Shazahurus. Look like two red threads. Vamar of Amram Allah, Kshal Erev. On a weaving machine, they had the horizontal threads and the vertical threads. The Erev is the horizontal threads, and horizontal thread were thicker than the vertical threads. So says the Gemara, these two threads were the thicker, these two thighs that look like threads are thicker threads. Vishnei's Raisov, its two arms also look kabeis chutnish of the horus, but over here says the Gemara, v'amar armalah kishtei shalshesti, like the vertical threads which are the weaving machine, which are thinner. Amle Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana, we know Shmuel used to call Rav Yehuda Shinana, either because he was very sharp, another pshat is because he had big teeth. Like Tavit Uvda, you shouldn't consider an embryo a child Achiyasa until you see hair on its head. Ask the Gemara, Umiyam Shmuel Hachi, is that the opinion of Shmuel? From a Shmuel, we just learned on Amun Aleph, Achazuv Achazuv Hasheshes, that whenever you have an embryo, whether it has Tzolul or Ocher, he always is Chayshish. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Amma B'Shmuel, I was given to understand what the Shmuel mean. Which means as follows. When we think about the parsha that we've been discussing of a Yoledes, there's a chumr and a kula. What is the chumr and the kula? The chumr is that by a boy, she's tamei no matter what for the first 7 days. By a girl, she's tamei no matter what for the first 14 days. By a boy, she's then tar no matter what for the next 33 days. And by a girl, she's tamei no matter what for the next 66 days. When Shmuel on Amun Aleph said that whatever embryo we have to take a strict approach, that means we say that she's tamei. That means we go on to say l'chumra that she's tamei for 14 days. We have to be concerned that this is a Vlad. We have to be concerned that it's a Vlad in the Keva. That's what he meant. But we're not going to say that she's certainly tar, because we can't know that, Achi Yasir, unless we see here on it. That then we could start talking about Yemei Tahar. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Mesapkele L'Shmuel, does that mean that Shmuel wasn't sure? Says the Gemara, unbelievable story. For who feared us L'Kameh D'Mah Shmuel? There's a woman that had a miscarriage, she discharged a embryo. Amma Hahaba Aboram V'Chad Yoyma. He looked at this embryo, and he said that this embryo is in its 41st day of development. And then they checked the records at the mikvah, and they looked at how from when the woman went to the mikvah until she discharged, miscarried this embryo, there were only 40 days. So that means that the husband must have had relations with his wife before she went to the mikvah. Vamlo, haibani the ball. This husband must have had relations with his wife when she was still a nida, before she went to the mikvah. Because this embryo is 41 days old, and she went to the mikvah only 40 days ago. Paul Vakafse, he forced him, and he did admitted that he had relations with his wife before she went to the mikvah. So we see what a great expert he was. Could you imagine? You have this embryo, this small embryo, and he's able to determine if it's 40 days or 41 days. So why is he being so strict that unless we know for sure that the embryo developed that shiasir until it has hair, we don't treat it like an embryo? Answers the Gemara, Shani Shmuel de Rav Gavrei, which means as follows. Shmuel himself, indeed, was a very great expert. And he could tell exactly what's going on. But most people aren't Shmuel. And because most people aren't Shmuel, and Shmuel was concerned, he said that every embryo we have to be choishish and treat it that she has 14 days of tumah. But on the other hand, unless we know for sure there was a developed embryo, we don't give it a Yemei Tahara. We learned in the Mishnah. Hamapela sandal. Tanabonim. Sandal doim ledag. the sandal looks, ladak shiyama, looks like a fish. Bitchlosi vladhu, at the beginning it was a vlad, el shenirtzaf, it got crushed. Rishim Gamaliel, I'm a sandal domel loshen shashar hagodl. It looks like the tongue of a big axe. And as the Aruch HaNer explains, it's hard to say that they're arguing over a metzias, what a sandal looks like. They're not arguing over the metzias. They're arguing what is a better way of describing it. But they both agree what a sandal is. Mishum Rabbi Seinu Hidu, sandal tzarech tzuras panim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, halacha, sandal tzarech tzuras panim. In order for a sandal to be considered a vlad, it has to have a tzuras panim. Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yitzchak, sandal tzarech tzuras panim. A sandal has to have some sort of a face. A filu mecharev, even if it's not in the proper place. Why? Because mashal adam shesotes chaverev. Because what happened to the sandal? It got crushed, as we're going to describe. Mashal adam shesotes chaveroi v'yichsepanev lacharev. Says the Gemara, b'mei Reb Yanai bikshu l'taras a sandal she'en lo tzaras panim. There was a discharge of a sandal that didn't have any facial features. Omam Reb Yanai tahartem as a vlodis. If you're going to take that opinion, you're going to say that a woman should have to mislay that doesn't have. And therefore you can't take that approach. Ask the Gemara, for Tani Mishum Rabbein Seinu, he do sandal tzarech tzaras panim. So why are you angry for him passing that way? Amar Rabbi Bibai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, medosa shereb nchonim mishnas mishnazu. This was the opinion of one individual. Rav Zeira, Zochaba. And Rav Zeira is correct. For he says, Rav Zeira Zochaba Rabbi Bishmatze. Danova hu, have a yisivna kamed Rav Yochanan, karmel ha-shmatza, v'kodem iu v'oma, v'zochaba. He's the one that said it first. Ask the Gemara. Lamaskir sandal. Why do we have to speak about the sandal? V'loi ain't sandal she'em v'lai vlad. The definition, ask the Gemara, of a sandal means that there's a vlad that comes along with it. So now let's look at it. Edis alv in the cave of Bahadei, if another female came along with the sandal, hachinami, says the Gemara, you're right. There's no reason to look at the sandal. Because if there's a female with it, then for sure she's tummy for 14 days. Hachamayiskinen, that the sandal was born, and it's alat zoch badei. And with the sandal came out a male. Ma'atema, ho'evam Rav Nachman be'yitz ishim izraz tchila. If a woman issues seed first during the relation, when they have relations, you let the zocher. Ishma zriya tchila, and if the man has zera, emits seed first, you let us nekeva. So midah ha-zocher, if the child that came along with the sandal is a male, shouldn't that be an indication, ha-nami zocher? And therefore, we should only treat the sandal like a zocher, and she should only be tamei for 7 days. Kamashmalan, emeshneu, Hazru b'bas achas. They both had, what are twins from? They emitted zera at the same time. Hai zoch v'hai nekeva. We'll come back to this in a moment. Dov acher, shem tel in the cave of nei shkia, that if the cave was born before the shkia, v'sandal achas shkia, mayan tchilas nidal rishon, v'tchilas nidal achron. Because even if we'll say that the sandal and her are both girls, we have to know when do we start counting the 80th or the 81st day. Because once the 81st day comes, her cycle that we discussed so many times at the beginning of Masechta, of 7 days of Nid and 11 days of Ziva, kick in. And therefore, we need to know what came first, because even if the sandals are girl, we have to know when to start counting. So this Gemara is a fascinating Gemara, because the Gemara assumes, the Gemara said there's a Havamina, that if the viable child was in the Keva, that was a Zocher. That's a raya that the sandal is also a zocher. Mefarshim asks, we see twins born every day, that one is a boy, one's a girl. So why would I assume because one is a boy, the other one is a boy? So the Aruch HaNer and many other Mefarshim discussed this question, and they said that the Gemara assumed that it's more likely, that it's unlikely that the man and wife should be emit the seed, the zera, at the exact same moment. And since it's unlikely that they emitted the seed at the exact same moment, it's more likely that either he or she did it at first, And if she did it first, they'll both be boys, and especially in this circumstances where it's crushed, we could rely on that assumption. So I saw a beautiful pshat. The Torah says, Ishikis is Ria Yod Zachar. The Torah says, B'yayim Hashmini Yim Obsar Olasai. So the Ksav Seif asks, why does the Torah have to teach us the din of Mila, the middle of the parasha of Tumas Leida that we're discussing? Furthermore, he asked the question, we learned in the Gemara Masechet Gedushin. The Gemara Masechet Gedushin says that there is no chiv in a mother to do a Mila on a son. Why not? Of course, the father maybe should go first, but why is the mother totally exempt? So he says, our Gemara is the answer to these questions. If a couple has a boy, that means she was Mazriya Tchila. So the son is connected to the mother. Why is that? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows there's certain mitzvahs that women can do and not men, and certain mitzvahs that women can do and not women. So the mother is connected to her son, that any mitzvah she can do, she has a son do on her behalf. And the father is connected to the daughter, that any mitzvah he can't do, she'll do on his behalf. So now, Ishik is Azriya. If the Isha was Mazriya first, what would be the Yald Zachar? So the schus of his mitzvahs, she automatically has. How will the father also have a schus in the great mitzvah Mila? Mashmini Yima B'sar Lasai. The father should do the Mila. The mother doesn't have to do the Mila. As soon as the son is gemalut, she'll be connected to the son. Isha Mizrez Tchila Yalda Sachar. We want the father also to have a share in that great mitzvah Mila. Isha Kesizriya. So the boy is because of her. Mashmini Yima B'sar Lasai. The father should do the Mila.